When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, Reese, Bibbs, put the game on, man. I'm trying to see what Luka and them boys gonna do tonight, man. Mavs Outside This Podcast. Y'all know what time it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Mavs Outside This Podcast. 3 weeks in a row. Consistent. Might be 4 weeks, actually. Joint as always. First of all, I'm Maurice Williams, aka Mind of Reese, MFR25 on Twitter, X if you're nasty. Joint as always by my co-host, Mr. Michael Bibbins, aka Bibbs, at Bibbs Corner, Twitter. Bibbs. We had a good week. I predicted the record correctly. How you feeling outside of basketball?
Outside of basketball? I'm feeling all right. I mean, I just choked on this Oreo ice cream. But other than that, I'm feeling all right. can't complain too much. Job is being flexible still. I have to make an announcement with them soon and hope that it doesn't backfire in my face, because I've made some assumptions about the fact that I can keep my job if I move, and that may not be the case. We'll find out on the next Dragon Ball Z. But but no, things are fine. I'm looking at potentially going to the Mavs game on April 9th in Charlotte, but we'll see.
Okay, all right. That is on a Tuesday, correct?
Yes, that's kind of the biggest. That and finances are the biggest problem, because I'm going to be in Georgia, and that's a little bit further of a trip. So
it's already like a 3-hour drive?
It's an hour and a half from me.
Okay.
From South Carolina, but from Georgia, it's like 3 hours.
Okay. I will be going to WrestleMania next week in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Thursday, I will be going to Wale Mania.
Wale?
Yeah, Wale. Every year at WrestleMania, he holds like an event with a bunch of wrestlers, rappers, and guests come through. It's a bunch of music being played. I'll be going to that on Thursday. Friday, I'll be going to SmackDown. Saturday and Sunday, I'll be going to WrestleMania. Monday, I'll be going to Monday Night Raw. Tuesday, I come back home. So, yeah, a lot of money was spent. I have not seen anything this... No, I lied. I have seen something this week. I was supposed to go see Godzilla Kong today, but I'm going tomorrow instead, or Saturday. Have you seen anything this week?
I actually binged Shogun.
Oh, yes. That's on Hulu, right?
It's on FX and Hulu, yeah.
Yeah.
So we watched it on Hulu, and we're definitely locked in. My fiance's brother called us out for doing the dubs.
There's a Japanese version.
Yes, so if you watch it on Hulu, it's Japanese and Portuguese with subtitles. But or if you watch it on TV, if you watch it on Hulu, there's a version with the dubs, and the dubs are actually really good. I usually don't do dubs, but the dubs are really good. And somebody pointed out that they only use the dubs where completely necessary; otherwise, they use subtitles. And they do English instead of Portuguese, because most of the characters speak, when they're speaking English, is usually Portuguese.
Okay.
I think the subtitles are different colors based on whatever language they speak in. But her brother watches a lot of anime and stuff, so he like knows some Japanese. So he tapped in. He like, y'all missing all kinds of context stuff. I'm like, man, just let me enjoy the show.
Just let people watch how they want to watch.
Yeah. I felt bad because I'm the type of person, like I always say, like it's not a big deal to do subtitles. But at the time when we were trying to give it a chance, we didn't feel like doing all that reading. So it's fine. That's fine.
I've been watching X-Men 97.
Okay.
I've been watching Invincible, but this on Sunday, I went to see Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Okay.
Which was a sequel to Ghostbusters Afterlife, which I had not seen before Sunday. I watched it at home, found it on demand. I was like, okay, well, watch this. Never seen a Ghostbusters movie all the way through before.
Same, but before I saw the last one, that's where I was.
Okay. Ghostbusters Afterlife was cool, you know, considering someone who does not have a connection to the series, not nostalgia. And obviously that you could tell, like, they relied on a lot of nostalgia, but it was cool.
Okay.
Frozen Empire fucking sucked.
Oh, damn.
That shit was bullshit. Like, below mid, but not garbage. Just bad.
That's disappointing.
It was just bad. I liked Afterlife much better. Like, there was charm in Afterlife. This just felt lifeless. Like, they were really trying to rely on nostalgia way too much.
Was it a bigger budget situation? Because I feel like the last one felt like it had a pretty modest budget, so they had to actually lean into the characters. Like, was this a lot of effects and stuff?
I don't know about the budget. I don't know the budget difference.
Okay.
But I will say, Afterlife took place in like Oklahoma or something. They go back to New York in this. So it's like big city thing.
Yeah.
They have to explain why these characters who fucking lived in Oklahoma are now in New York. They don't explain how. First of all, it's 3 years later.
Okay.
Which makes sense because you have to explain why these kids are older. Like,
why does he have a beard now?
Like the kid podcast from Afterlife, I had to look like he was so much older. I'm like, that is the same actor, right?
Like, oh man,
McKenna Grace still looks the same, but I'm gonna be completely honest. I'm taking a page out of Van Lathan's book.
Uh-oh.
Way too much pluck. Like, the pluck is just like fucking annoying. Like, it's just teenage angst, like talking back and shit, and I'm just like, you're being a spoiled fucking brat right now. Like, you are lucky they are allowing you. Like, you're lucky to be doing what you're doing. There's just plots, there's like subplots, B plots and C plots that just don't need to be fucking in. It serve no purpose to the overall story. One plot comes in so late. They hype up this big bad like it's the demon of all. First of all, it's called Ghostbusters, but these things seem more like demons than ghosts, but that's a completely different story. Demons of all demons, and the motherfucker don't do nothing. Like,
that seems to be a problem with a lot of movies lately. It's like they hype up this battle or this thing, and it just don't deliver. Like, not even close.
He don't do shit. But float menacingly.
I mean, you supposed to like destroy the city or something?
I don't know, but god damn it, dude, I'm trying not to spoil anything. But it's like, he don't do shit.
All right.
And it takes too long to get there for him to not do shit. When he finally shows up, it's so close to the end of the movie that he's not even around long enough to do shit.
I wonder if they were planning to do a sequel when they made the last movie. No, they had to be, because why would they even revive it?
They had to. But to be honest, that came out 3 years ago. They had enough time. Like,
maybe it was the Blade situation where, like,
oh god, that movie is a disaster.
The second movie, they bring in a bunch of other people with all these ideas and stuff, and it just goes out of hand.
Wait, you ain't like Blade 2?
I mean, they were saying, like, they broke it down to where Blade 1, they had no expectations, they had no, like, they had like a modest budget, and they could do what they wanted, creative control. Second time, a few more people came in, had a little bit less creative control. Third movie, absolutely no creative control, all the marketing people in the room, that type of thing. So it might have been a sped up version of that type of process.
Well, that makes sense, because didn't like Whistler come back in Blade 2 out of nowhere?
Stuff like that happens when you get,
because he died in the first one.
When the original people had a plan, and then you bring extra people in the room, and they'd be like, "What about if?"
But the thing is, Blade 2 is the best one to me.
You think so?
I think so. Blade 2 is the best one to me. I love Blade 2. The action in that movie is...
I gotta do a rewatch. It's been a while.
The effects on the vampires with mouths open, it's
fantastic. And that's what I'm saying. Like they did some good stuff probably with the additional budget. But I feel like maybe the original people didn't get to keep telling the story they wanted to tell. And then by the third one, it was just... The
third one, don't get me started.
It was a lot going on. So
fucking Ryan Reynolds.
What else? Oh, I put it on The Bear also. Have you watched The Bear yet?
I have not. I've been meaning to.
Why? You could binge the entire series in a day.
Really?
If you wanted to. It's a 30-minute show.
Is it only one 30-minute show? It's not an hour?
No. That's why I was like, I feel like the weight of it felt like it was an hour show when I pulled it up. I was like, oh, it really is 30 minutes.
How many seasons?
Two. First season's 8 episodes. Second season is 10.
Damn.
Now, there are some longer episodes. Like, one of the best episodes is like an hour, 6 minutes or something like that.
Okay.
Some of them are 38 minutes. But then some of them are like 21, 23 minutes. So you could probably watch the entire series in under 12 hours.
Okay.
Total.
All right. I saw something on Twitter about the new Spider-Man movie, and they saying, oh, yeah, we want to start production and filming on the new Spider-Man film in August. And I'm like, wait a minute, that can't be right.
What?
Because they haven't even found a goddamn director yet. How have you set a date for production and filming, but don't have a... Do you have a script? That can't be right.
Do they have a name?
Huh?
Hold on.
Does the film have a name? No.
That's a short timeline. Hold up.
It just don't sound right.
And this is a Marvel-Sony crossover still, right?
Yeah.
I don't see anything out here. They haven't put anything on IMDb yet. Wait, did they? Spider-Man 4, plot unknown. They do have writers, Chris McKenna and Eric Summers.
I don't know them folk.
He did No Way Home, Homecoming, and Far From Home. So, okay. Same writer. Same writers. And Thomas Hayden Church apparently is already confirmed.
The fuck?
Which is weird. He's the only cast member listed.
Yeah, that sounds fishy to me.
That's Sandman, ain't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why he need to be there.
But... That just sounds fishy to me. I'm not even going to give in to it. Bad Boys 4 got announced. Well, not announced, the trailer. Did you see Bad Boys 3?
I did.
Did you like it?
It was fine. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on.
It's usually a Bad Boys movie for you.
There's a lot going on with the helicopter.
I'm just annoyed at the fact that they called Bad Boys 3 Bad Boys for Life when they knew they had plans to make a fourth one, and they could have called Bad Boys 4 Bad Boys for Life. Like, this shit writes itself.
It's just going to be another one of them action movies where they're doing a whole lot.
I will watch Martin Lawrence and Will Smith play.
Either you like that or you don't. That's what it is.
I fucking love Bad Boys. I will watch them play these characters until they're 60 years old. I don't care.
How do you feel about the young crew? Because that was kind of the X factor for the last movie.
I liked them. And, you know, anytime I get to see Vanessa Hudgens, I'm happy. So, but the young crew is back for this movie.
Right. I did see that. So yeah. I was actually glad to see that, because
I'm glad that they were a nice addition to the last.
It was a nice little twist, if you will. Yeah. I'll definitely probably watch and enjoy it. There were some surprises in that last one that make it worth watching. Like, stakes were real. It felt like. So I think that's key.
I mean, somebody actually died.
So. Right. Like somebody important. So I'll tap him.
See, are we forgetting anything?
I think the only other thing, what's this movie coming out on April 19th? The something Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Yes, with Henry Cavill.
Yeah.
That looks interesting. I'm gonna see that.
With Reacher and Henry Cavill, and is Gal Gadot in it?
I can't remember. I saw the trailer for it when I went to see something. I can't remember what, but yes.
Yeah, so I've seen a couple trailers. It looks like my type of movie.
Yeah, it looks fun. I'm ready for Civil War. It's an A24 film.
Oh, God.
Have you heard of it?
I've seen... Oh, it's some girl named Isa Gonzalez that... Have I seen her in anything? She looked like a fake Gal Gadot. She was in Godzilla vs. Kong. And
oh, yeah, I remember her.
Oh, I remember her from Baby
Doll. She the one that got crushed in the...
I don't know.
Plane. I remember Godzilla vs. Kong? Mm-mm. The fuck?
Nope, I ain't been watching. I ain't been tapped in.
Damn.
I ain't been tapped in.
Nice.
I remember her from...
She was in something else.
Ambulance and Baby Driver.
Yes, she was in Ambulance. She was the one driving the ambulance.
Yeah. All right. That's where I know her from. But yeah, that's all that's on my radar besides NCAA tournament. My Gamecocks got clapped. They went limp, if you will. meanwhile, our ops are in the Elite Eight. Some old bullshit.
Well, you still got the women's team.
But the men's game, it kind of pissed me off a little bit. I got to keep it 100. First of all, South Carolina was expected to finish last, 14th in the SEC. Ended up being tied for second in the conference. We get to the NCAA tournament. We a 6th seed, first of all. That was lower than it should have been. But we a 6th seed. And then they give us the 11th seed. And the 11th seed we get is an Oregon team that just won the Pac-12 tournament. So you put a big conference team against another big conference team that just won their conference tournament. That's the reward that we got for grinding all year. And then Oregon happened to have a dude that used to play for South Carolina who was 25 years old, older than Luka Doncic.
That nigga still doing it in college.
He had a red shirt year at South Carolina. Then he played 3 years. Then he transferred. Then he took his COVID year, so because he was in college during COVID, so you can have a bonus year. So he took his COVID year. He got to have like 7 degrees at this point. 12 kids by 13 women. Dude was big as hell. I was like, hold up. Like, why? I don't remember him being this big when he was in South Carolina. What is going on? Oh, he's a grown-ass man. He older than Luka, playing college basketball.
That's crazy.
And all he did was just run our team over the whole night. He scored 40 points by himself.
It's like when you watch high school games and one team just got that big ass dude that like really probably can't even play, but you can't do nothing with him.
That was all he did. He made our guards look tiny. And then he almost did the same thing in the second round. He almost willed his team past, but they messed up, blew the lead, and allowed it to go to overtime, and they lost an OT. But that pissed me off. But the South Carolina women, they really just clapping things. And I expect that to continue.
Well, speaking of getting clapped, Mavs Outsiders fantasy
season
concluded.
Wow.
Concluded this past week. Shout out to the champion, Adelaide. Wait, hold up. What was the team? The Adelaide what?
36ers?
I think it's the 36ers. Yes. Adelaide 36ers by Dylan Seegers. Defeated Bibbs in the championship round. You was close to repeating. Didn't happen. Lost 1,512 to 1,367. I finished in third place with 993 over Chico's 927. I did not set my lineups. I'm pretty sure he did not either. Nobody gives a shit about third place. If you ain't first, you're last. This was a fun season.
It was
a fun season. I'm glad somebody else actually won. Like,
hate is real. I am.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, we actually get to reward someone for it, as opposed to one of us winning. And Dylan, if you're listening to this, I was just going to reach out, but I wanted to do it like on the air. If you're listening to this, send either me or Bibbs your either PayPal, preferably PayPal, to be quite honest. PayPal, Zelle,
Cash App,
Venmo, you know,
whatever.
Yeah, anything, any way you receive your money so you can receive your reward for being champion.
He beat us both in the playoffs, right?
Did he? I think.
Yeah, he had to.
Remember? Because we was on opposite ends of the bracket.
Right. So
we just go up in the second round.
Yeah, he beat you in the second round, and then he beat me. So I mean, that's, if you're gonna earn the money, that's the way to do it.
That's the way to do it. You beat both of us. God damn it.
Them damn injuries got me. I'm putting it on the injuries. That's LaMelo been gone out forever.
Goddamn LaMelo.
Now Kuzma missed the game. Fontecchio decided to be out all week for the first time. Gobert was out. Like, I had a ton of injuries I was trying to maneuver. It just everything fell apart for me. Oh, Laurie Marketing was hurt. Just a bad week for me. Bad week for me. But it's all good. I'm not saying he didn't earn it. He earned it. Injuries is part of the game. Shout out to Dylan.
We'll bounce back next season, man.
Hopefully we have more people in the league.
I was going to say that. Hopefully we have more people in the league, you know, fill the league out some more. Because people have so many, like, top-tier players on their team, because it's only, like, what, 8 of us in the league or something like that? 10? 12 or 14 would be cool.
Yeah, I was hoping we would get to 12. I think we had 12 patrons at the time, but not everybody joined the league, so.
Yeah. But the season was fun. I had a nice team, but then Ja went and got hurt. I made some moves. I ended up getting Bron. Look, on paper, my team was crazy. Just didn't perform. I'd have had a higher seed. I may not even have. Well, no, nah, Dylan was on a run all season. So I'd have had to come across him in the playoffs eventually. But I would have had a higher seed if not for the losing streak, like 3-game losing streak I went on towards the end of the fucking season, but I digress. Neither here nor there. I would like to get some more people next season though. And the NBA offseason is long, so it the fucking fantasy season won't be for a while. I wonder if we should do a football.
We got football money.
I don't know.
Nah, I was trying to see. I actually need to hit up the network about our last month payment. So we'll see.
It ain't gonna be much.
Yeah, that's what I told him. Like, well, we barely posted in January.
$5.
I just want to see something come in because it's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a long time. We in a groove now. You know, so hopefully it'll get back to them. Once we really start doing like the post games, we'll really start seeing the flow like we used to when we were with TBPN. So for all the shit with TBPN, yeah, they was late on payments, but some of them payments was nice. So
payments were nice. Can't deny.
I will never forget that time. How much did we get?
Probably over 1,000.
I was about to say, I think we got 1,000 one time.
Yeah, it's in the spreadsheets.
Yeah, I think we got 1,000. So we was grinding, boy. We was grinding. We gonna get back to it. It's a process, you know. But between that and the Patreon, hopefully we can get some cash flow coming in. Should we move on to the actual Mavs talk? Was there anything else you would like to say about the fantasy basketball?
No, I enjoyed it. I had fun. It gave me a reason to like set my lineups every week, especially like I got into that big hole. I had to grind my way back to the playoffs. think you hit it. Like, I want more people next year. Looking to give away another $100.
Not looking forward to it, but, you know.
Putting it back on the table.
Putting it back on the table. So let's talk about the Mavs. Season is coming to an end soon, and the Mavs are clicking at the right time. We gave our predictions last week. The Mavericks ended up coming out 3-0, two games against the Jazz, one game against the Kings. Thursday on March 21st, they defeated Jazz at home, 113-97. Daniel Gafford, 24.7 rebounds, 5 assists. Was this the game he got hurt and came back?
I don't think so, because I think I watched that whole game and he got hurt in one that I missed part of.
Or was that the Spurs game? One of those games he got hurt and came back.
Maybe I'm tripping. I don't remember, actually.
Maybe it was the second Jazz game.
It was whatever the second game was.
It was the second Jazz game. Okay. Yeah, Luka Doncic with 34 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists. Kyrie Irving, 16.7 assists, 5 rebounds. The bench did not give them much of shit, but it did not matter. Second game played in Utah, defeated the Jazz 115-105. I do like that we're beating the teams we're supposed to beat, but the Utah Jazz, let's be honest, these motherfuckers are kind of tanking at the end of the season right now. They're not really playing serious, but you still have to take every NBA team serious. And like I said, every win counts, especially the way that the seeding in the West is shaping up. So you have to get every win you can, especially against the weaker opponents.
Yeah. Because
when you come against your stronger opponents and you lose, it may not hurt as much because you created some cushion by winning the games you're supposed to win. Kyrie Irving with 27, Luka Doncic with a 29-point triple-double with 13 assists, 12 rebounds. Tim Hardaway Jr. off the bench with 13 points that he scored all in the first fucking half. I remember that game, and somebody said in the first half, because I didn't watch the whole thing. I fell asleep early.
Okay.
The first half, Tim had 13 points, and somebody tweeted, "Oh, where's all the Tim talk now?" And when I woke up the next morning and saw that the motherfucker finished with 13, I was like, "Where's that person at?" That's why you should wait till the end of the game to tweet that.
If you don't know who Tim Hardaway Jr. is by now, I don't know what to tell you.
I wish I didn't know who he was. Mavericks at Kings on Tuesday, the first of the second game against the Kings. The second has not been played yet. Mavericks went into Sacramento to light the beam, defeated the Kings 132-96. Belt to ass. Luka Doncic with 28 points, 11 rebounds. Kyrie Irving with 24 points, 8 assists. PJ Washington, 14 points, 13 rebounds, and Tim Hardaway Jr. with 22 off the bench. How did you feel about this 3-0 win streak? The Mavs have nine wins out of their last 10 games. On a roll right now.
So last week I picked the team to go 2-1. I said we would lose one to the Jazz. They did give us a fight in that second game, but like you said, we take care of business against the bad teams these days. And me even picking a team to go 2-1 was me being stuck in the past of us finding a way to lose games we shouldn't lose. I honestly think this team is a team that's hitting its groove at the right time. Like, I think this team is the team that we said can play against anybody in the playoffs. If you look at the games we've had recently that have been close, it'll be close up to the closing time. And then it's Luka and Kyrie. And ain't nobody stopping that dynamic duo. Like, it's just not going to happen. One of them going to kill you, or both of them going to kill you. But somebody going to kill you. You're getting killed in the end. You can't. This is a team you do not want to have within 4 or 5 points of you going into the final 5 minutes of the game. I pulled it up just now. I think it was a 4-point game with like 6 minutes left in that Jazz game before we blew it out to a double-digit lead quickly. And that's just what it comes down to, those final 5-6 minutes when you got both of them coming in. One of them likely just came off the bench. One of them is likely been on the court a couple minutes. And you're trying to stop two of the most dynamic scorers in the league at the same damn time in the same damn place.
I think what I'm most impressed by in this run and this team clicking the way it is the defense. The defense is coming together the most and is creating more offense. And it's beautiful to watch. PJ Washington, who I don't know who coined it. PJ. I've seen it on Twitter. God damn it. Now, granted, he's not a point of attack defender. I don't think anybody's expecting that out of him. But the fact that he's handling his matchup, whether it be a star or not, means something. Now, if we play a team like Denver in the playoffs, I don't know who he's matching up against. Aaron Gordon. I mean, it'll matter, but Jamal and Jokic are the main guys. But we played very well against Jokic as well. And with the two bigs we have now with Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively, I've seen people say it, and I didn't even think about it like this. People were like, man, we need that third score. They were like, the bigs seem to be our third guys. The way they're producing points, whether it be off pick and rolls, fast breaks, putbacks, second chance points, especially Daniel Gafford. And I'm okay with Derek Lively coming off the bench. I'm okay with either one of them coming off the bench. But right now, Daniel Gafford is playing fucking amazing. Thank you, Washington Wizards. Jesus Christ. Go ahead. I was just looking.
Last game against the Kings, PJ Washington had 13 rebounds, and that's like you said, that's one of the differences. It's the defense. It's ending possessions by getting those rebounds, getting off, getting back on the offensive side of the ball. Because at the end of the day, when you have two killers like Luka and Kyrie, you're gonna score probably 2/3 of those last few possessions. And if the other team is getting offensive rebounds, that's the only way that they can match us. If we're cleaning the glass and we got Luka and Kyrie on the other end, that's when we're going to go on those runs that demoralize opponents. And that's a beautiful thing to see. I don't know why it took so long. Yes, I do. But it's funny, like, looking back, like, how long we've been arguing that we need bigs. And people act like when you ask, we were asking for, like, all-stars. No, we need dudes that grab rebounds and dunk
back. Serviceable guys.
That's it. Daniel Gafford is not no superstar. Never has been. Nobody is ever claiming he is. He's doing the bare minimum. He's doing his job. He's setting picks. He's catching lobs. He's going to get rebounds. He's having the time of his life because he does not have to work hard to do what he's doing. And he's being rewarded for all his efforts. That's it. That's all we needed. We had these sorry bottom of the barrel, should barely be in the league, if at all, centers running this team forever with a guy like Luka Doncic, who we saw take Mike Toby almost to the podium in the Olympics. Just need dudes to know how to do their job. They do not have to be world beaters. I don't need to see Daniel Gafford post ups. Nobody's asking for that. He's not asking for that. Set picks, roll to the basket, dunk basketball, rebound, attempt to contend shots at the rim. That's it. That's it.
I love how Kyrie and Luka are clicking. This late, I knew what I was about to say as well. Another thing that really impressed me with the Mavs and Kings game, we blew those motherfuckers out on the road after back-to-back. And we held the Sacramento Kings to under 100 points. And I really love that people are starting to take notice of the Mavericks. And I mean, outside of, now that could be a bad thing. That motherfuckers are starting to talk about the Mavericks now. But people outside of the Mavs fan base are starting to take notice of the Mavericks. And a lot of people are saying we're the dark horse in the West. And they're kind of echoing what we've been saying. I'm not afraid of anybody but Denver, and that's even to an extent. That's just out of respect for them being the champs and them having the best player in the fucking world.
Yeah.
Outside of that, nobody else deserves that respect.
No. I got stopped in Walgreens like right before we recorded this by a dude because I had the jersey on, obviously. He said, I'm not really, I don't have a team. You know, I really like players. He's a Steph dude, basically. But he was like, you think y'all got a chance at the rings or what? Nobody's asking Mavs fans that at the beginning of the season. Nobody's asking that.
I ain't wear this shirt for no reason. Just saying.
But I said, hey, look, there's not anybody in the league that puts the fear of God in my heart in a 7-game series when we got Luka and Kyrie. And then he went out of his way to say y'all defense was the only thing that was questionable. But now y'all defense starting to pick it up too. I was like, I'm saying all we needed was some bigs. I ain't say bigs was some ass.
I hope you did.
Do that in the casual conversation. That's
crazy.
That's tricky. So
that's crazy.
But yeah, like you said, even outsiders, TM, are noticing that the Mavs might be a little dangerous. Yeah. And I still don't want to be in no dang playing, but the team is dangerous right now. And I've been watching this Pelican score tonight because if they lose, we can still climb up the standings. The Clippers have been sliding too, but I don't want to get ahead of myself.
I know we're a game and a half behind the Clippers. We're a game behind the Pelicans. Okay. We're 2 games behind the Clippers now. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay.
Pelicans are leading the Bucks right now in the fourth quarter.
Okay. All right. Oh, Celtics and Hawks in OT. Nice.
Go down to the wire.
Yeah. Damn. Hey man, Hawks been, if the Hawks was healthy, they'd be cool. Or maybe not, because look like they playing better without Trae Young, which ain't hear that from me. No. Tomorrow, the Clippers play the Magic on the road.
Magic been playing all the Western Conference teams that are playoff now. I noticed these like they've been playing, they played the Kings the other day. I think the
Clippers have the toughest schedule.
They probably do. And they've been
Let me look, actually. I was watching a Kenny Beecham video, and he had up on the screen, like, they had a rank of, like, toughest schedule based on opponent. But let me just look up the Clippers. They have the Magic, then they have the Hornets. And they have 8 games in April. Oh, yes.
All playoff teams?
I mean, they got the Kings, the Nuggets. They got the Jazz twice. They got the Cavs. They got the Suns twice. And then they got the Rockets. I mean, not in that order. But
all of those teams potentially playing for something.
Except for the Jazz.
Yeah. They're playing for lottery balls.
Yeah. It also doesn't help that the Clippers don't look great right now.
Exactly. And the Jazz, for what it's worth, they do play hard. Like, I watch their games. Yeah. Markin is coming back from injury, so they look worse than they should. But I mean, they're getting in fights and stuff. Then you don't do that if you ain't trying.
I don't want the 5 seed, and I don't want to play the Clippers in the first round because I'm just tired of seeing the Clippers. But a part of me wants Luka to put the dagger in them motherfuckers and break that team up.
I would embrace it if it happened. Like, I'm not gonna be one of those people that's like, I want to play this team in the first round, whatever. But yeah, if it ends up being the Clippers, I'll embrace it specifically for that reason. Because
yeah.
I mean, that's,
if they lose in the first round, it's over.
The Clippers?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. If we play the Clippers, I'll embrace it just for the fact that I want to be able to say we beat the Clippers.
Yeah. Like, Luka walks up, like, look, I got a squad now. Like, y'all can't come with that bullshit y'all came with before. It ain't going to work. I got a squad now. And y'all got James Harden. So,
yeah.
Y'all already at a disadvantage.
Would you welcome it as a 4-5 Mavs matchup?
Yeah, I would. That's what I would expect it to be quite honest.
Okay.
I see a lot of people talking Like, oh, if Luka gets the 5 or 4th seed, he should be MVP. I want y'all to stop that because I don't even want y'all to get y'all hopes up and disappoint yourselves. Granted, do I think he deserves it? Absolutely. It's been the best, arguably second best player in the league this year behind Jokic because Jokic has been amazing.
If we get to the 4th seed, that's the only way out.
Even then, I feel like Jokic has it locked up. I feel like it's too late in the seat. I don't know. I mean, you never know. Cause
I have no idea, honestly.
The league been wanting to give MVP to Luka for a while now. So they might think of it as just it being their chance.
Yeah.
Hypothetically speaking.
I know who it shouldn't be.
It should not be Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Or Tatum.
Tatum's not even in the fucking conversation.
I don't trust nobody at this point.
Nah, Giannis is in the conversation.
Nice.
Hypothetically speaking, let's say the Mavs make the finals, right?
Okay.
What's your dream matchup? Because I know mine.
In the finals?
Yeah. Not even like, oh, team, I think we can rip. Just who you want to see against the Mavs in the finals. Because I know mine. I'm a narrative motherfucker, so you know.
I got a lot of biases.
Yours is the Bucks.
The NBA narrative would be the Celtics.
Not for me.
My personal preference is the Bucks.
My narrative would be the Knicks.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw that.
My narrative would be the Knicks. But the Celtics, that not even for Porzingis, but the whole Tatum-Luka thing.
Tatum-Luka.
Kyrie Celtics.
Magic Bird. That's the new Magic Bird for people.
For fucking who? Who is Tatum?
Bird.
Fuck out of here, man.
Loaded ass team. Boston Celtics. Goofy looking. No, I'm scared.
Fuck out of here, man. Ever compare that nigga to Larry Bird in your life? Ever compare him to Larry Bird? Fuck out of here. Can't believe you just said that shit.
I had to do something bad. Nah, but that's the two that they've been trying to put up against each other forever.
Yeah, they have.
Even though I don't think Tatum is in the same stratosphere.
He's not. He's not at all.
That's whatever.
I'm excited, man. I'm honestly excited about the playoffs coming up. Hopefully nothing happens and we fall into the play-in, but, you know, even then, I like our chances. This is exciting. It's an exciting time to be a Mavs fan. They're clicking at the right time. The games are fun to watch. The team is fun to watch. I'm looking forward to the rest and the end of the season. And we know how playoff time get with Luka. That motherfucker turn up. And it seems like he already flicking the playoff switch. He's feeling it coming. So,
yeah. And for me, I haven't enjoyed a Kyrie playoff run in a long time, so I'm very curious what Luka looks like with a guy like Kyrie beside him. We know what Luka does in the playoffs. What does that look like with a Kyrie beside him?
Is it weird that I don't miss Josh Green?
No.
Like, not don't miss him as in terms of like, what it's just like, I forget sometimes, like, oh shit, Josh Green hurt.
I'll literally be watching a game and I'll see some trade Josh Green tweets and I'll be like, oh damn, Josh Green ain't playing, is he?
Right. What does that mean?
That means that Josh Green's an annoying player. He was supposed to take the leap this year. He did not take the leap. He is the player that's in the rotation besides Tim. Well, no, we know what Tim Hardaway Jr. is going to do. That we don't know what he's going to do on a play-to-play, night-to-night basis. We know what he can do. We don't know what he's actually going to do. And that volatility is not, it's not fun. It's not enjoyable. I'm not going to sit here and say we must trade him. I still think he's going to be the type of player we want to have. But if they traded him, I would understand.
Depending on who I could get back this offseason, I'm packaging Tim and Josh Green for a wing defender.
Yeah, like a little bit more veteran, a steady wing defender,
Now, what wing defender? I have no idea.
I would have to get in the lab.
I would have to actually get in the lab and look, especially giving up Tim and Josh for this person. They have to be valuable. Not saying Josh and Tim have high value, but you're trading two people for one. They have to have some value. This has to be somebody 3 and D. You could throw them on best play and say, hey, go get them, sick them. You know, it's not a lot of guys like that in the league, but there's got to be somebody out there. There's going to be a team that's looking to blow some shit up this offseason for sure.
It's tough. I would like for Josh to come back and contribute in a real way, but I am not hard up for Josh Green minutes at this point in time.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I'm more hard up for AJ Lawson minutes, to be honest.
Depends. I would like to see what Omax looks like next season.
I mean this season.
Oh, this season right now.
Okay. This, like, I would like to see AJ Lawson get in the regular mix in that Hardy, Tim Hardaway Jr. grouping.
I'm curious what our playoff rotation will look like.
That actually was something I was going to potentially bring for us next week.
Okay.
Because I was going to do it this week, and I was like, oh, yeah, it's his week. I'll wait. And that gives us a little bit more time to get closer to figuring out what type of seed we might be. But, yeah, that's definitely an exercise I want to do next week.
So us giving our own playoff rotation.
Yeah, like your 8-man, and if you want to do a bonus player or whatever, we can do that. But we'll go 8-man.
Okay, cool. We'll save that then. Any more thoughts? Should we move on to the closing segments?
That's all I got, man. I'm enjoying this team. I'm excited. And looking forward to getting to this forecast so we can talk about what we think is going to happen this coming week.
Well, before we get into the forecast, we got to get into the unsung hero of the week. And I think it goes without saying, the undisputed unsung hero of the week award, no drama needed, goes to PJ Washington. Undoubtedly the impact he's had on defense in the last week alone, handling business on Lauri Markkanen twice, handling his business with a double double in the Sacramento Kings game, he's really starting to gel. I think the offense is starting to come along slowly, but there's still progression to be made. But he's clearly locked in on defense. He's clearly a glue guy on defense for this team. He's a big part of the defense. I think he's starting to not have that same level of impact, but that comparison I made to Aaron Gordon to the Nuggets is starting to shape up a bit as far as defense goes. On this Dallas Mavericks team. So I'm hoping to see that role grow some more. Shout out to PJ Washington. It's his first one. Definitely will not be his last. I'm positive of that. But with that out of the way, let's get into the weekly forecast. I'm ready to hear this.
You send it over to the weatherman, Bibbs?
Yes.
Right. What is up, Race? Let it rain down on me. That's right. The Mavs raining over the Kings. Get it? Because the Kings reign in the Dominion. And anyway, raining down over the Kings in the last matchup. We're going to get a rematch this time back in the sack. No beam. Going to be lit that night. At Sacramento, De'Aaron Fox, Sabonis, trying to hold down that 5-6 pickup sticks. I don't know. The Kings are trying to stay out of that play-in. The Mavs are trying to keep them down in there. And it was ugly last time for them. Will it be ugly again on Friday? Then Sunday, we got the Rockets. They're blasting off. I think they're on a 10-game win streak. Trying to get into that play-in, knock out the Warriors. Steph Curry's crying. Draymond Green might punch somebody. We'll see. Aaron Brooks versus Green in a cage match. Who you got?
You just say Aaron Brooks?
Dylan Brooks versus Draymond Green in a cage match.
About to say, the fuck did Aaron Brooks do? I'm taking Draymond Green.
Draymond in a cage match. Okay, but anyway, the Mavs going to be playing the Rockets on Sunday. A team with something to play for, a team that's been hooping. Going to be a nice test for the Mavericks to see how that defense is holding up against a young, energetic squad. I believe Şengün may be coming back soon. Some say that he's the reason that Green's been taken off, his absence, I should say. We'll see. Then finally on Tuesday, we play the Warriors. We have the chance to play a substantial role in whether or not the Warriors' run is over. How about that? We play the Rockets, then the Warriors. I say beat them both, personally. But if we were to lose to the Rockets and beat the Warriors, man, that would be interesting. Adam Silver may send down his goons to beat Kyrie and Luka about the ankles and knees. We'll see. Reese, back to you.
Predictions.
It's a tough little stretch.
It is.
It's a tough little stretch. Now, under normal circumstances, I would say 2-1, right?
Right.
But after how we beat the Kings last time, I don't think anything abnormal occurred in that game to where we should feel like, you know, this was, I mean, we beat the brakes off of them, but we played our game.
Yeah.
And did we have higher success than normal? Maybe. But like Luka didn't have 30. Kyrie didn't have 25. Tim Hardaway Jr. was probably the biggest anomaly.
Yeah.
But Jason Kidd, I have to give him credit. He's been having a shorter lease with Tim. When Tim's not hitting, Tim comes out. So who's to say that wouldn't have been Jaden Hardy under different circumstances? I feel good about it. I think they take care of business against the Kings. The Rockets game is probably the one that scares me the most just because that's a very hot team that has a lot to play for. Say what you want about Ime Udoka, hide your wife, but he's a good coach, and he's got that team believing in themselves right now. They don't fear anybody. That's important. The Warriors, they say be careful of a dying animal because it's going to give everything it has. That's the Warriors are a dying animal. They're going to give everything that they have in this game because
they ain't got shit.
Potentially, they're looking at being pushed out of the play-in.
All we got to do is poke Draymond Green. That motherfucker get himself kicked up.
Their will is close to broken. I've seen it when I'm looking at their body language and their faces.
They got Steph out there crying. And his weak ass then co-signed and helped produce this coon ass Good Times remake. Don't get me started on Steph.
I watched that trailer. It was so crazy. I didn't even realize I watched the whole thing. I was just in shock at how I don't even know what to call it. It pissed me off beyond. I could not imagine.
I'm still upset about it.
I cannot imagine that a group of people sat down, recorded, watched, wrote all this, and said it was a good idea. This is some bullshit. It would be some bullshit if it wasn't named after Good Times. But then you attach the name of an iconic show that was about the exact opposite of what this caricature is doing.
Thank you.
That just took the pissed offosity to another level. I don't understand what's going on with these cartoon remakes, but they got to stop. They got to stop.
I could go on a rant about this shit.
I hope it never sees the light of day.
I hope it doesn't. Wile E. Coyote, that shit. Batgirl, that shit.
Shame on you, Steph Curry. I'm pissed again.
Shame on you, Steph Curry.
Keep Steph Curry home. Send him to Cancun.
I'm sorry.
Cancun, because that's where you need to be. Big emphasis on the coon.
My prediction is 2-1. I think we lose the Rockets game. I just think they on a heater right now, man.
I like the test. I'm excited about that game.
But I'm also trying to use some reverse psychology because last week I was like 3-0. And I don't think I'm going to get lucky 2 weeks in a row. So maybe if I go 2-1, we'll actually go 3-0. But no, I'm really predicting 2-1. We could lose the Kings game or the Rockets game. I'm not worried about the Warriors, though.
The Rockets.
It's an automatic dub. It's just a team out of the three I'm least worried about.
I got you. Yeah, the Warriors have been pretty consistently mid all year. and we are no longer mid.
So, and they have no size right now.
Is Looney hurt?
I believe so.
Okay. Yeah, they've been playing, Trace Jackson Davis.
Yeah.
So, no excuse not to take care of business in that game. I think we both said the Rockets game is the toughest one of the three. Not to put any disrespect on the Kings, I just feel like we got them figured out at this point.
Yeah, there's nothing I saw that I feel like we can't do again. Obviously, I don't expect to blow them out like that again. But I also expect the Kings to come back and adjust and clean some things up they did wrong. So, yeah, they definitely not to be taken lightly.
Saw Luka talking to Sasha Vezeknov after the last game. There's been a lot of talk articles about these EuroLeague MVPs coming over and getting disrespected.
Yeah.
League. Luka might be doing some recruiting in that regard. Wouldn't be mad at it, low-key. But I do think, and I think he's still hurt. He may be back soon. I do think he, this has nothing to do with the Mavs game, but long-term, he could be an X-factor for them with Herter being out as a shooter. So it's going to be interesting to see what they look like going into the playoffs if he is back. But as of right now, I just don't think they have the firepower to keep up with us.
No, they don't. I agree. All right. Well, that's predictions for the week. We have nothing else to talk about. What I'll be glad when the playoffs get here, because it's getting harder and harder to find shit to talk about every week when there's really not much going on except literally just basketball playing being played. Like, there's no drama going on or anything like that. So it's really just weekly recaps every goddamn week. So I'll be glad when the playoffs start and we can really dive into some shit.
Yeah. And even though I'm not going to be stationary, I'll definitely commit to, I got to record in my car, I'll record in my car.
All right, cool. If I have to record a post-game recap alone, I'll do it, you know.
By the way, shout out to Slightly Biased, who shouted us out on the Ben and Skin show. Always appreciate when other podcasters show respect and appreciation for what we do.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Thank you very much for that. I listened to it. He said we've been, you know, in it for a long time. I'm like, damn, we've been doing it for like 3 years.
That's why I was like, hold up now.
Kirk been doing it longer than us. Dalton been doing it longer than us, you know. There's some other guys I think that's been doing it longer than us. Locked On Mavs, obviously. That might be it, actually.
It's actually, I don't think any of the rest of them still standing.
Yeah, I think that might be it. So
everybody else came after us. And even some of the ones that came after us are no longer standing.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Interesting to see.
Anyway. that, and also, y'all gonna look too deep into that. That's not shade. It's because the way I paused at the end, like, anyway, it ain't shade. Like, we ain't talking about anybody in specific, okay?
No.
But yeah, that's the episode. We are gonna get out of here. If you're listening to this and you're a patron, there will be no NBA show this week, but there will be one next week for sure. Guaranteed. So you won't get both. I mean, not won't. You will get both next week. But just the Mavs Outsiders for this week. But you will get the video version of this, obviously, so you do have something to hold you over. With that being said, signing off for Reese and Bibbs. We will holler at y'all next week. Be safe. Peace.